Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.
Now, we often define wealth by numbers, how much is in the bank, the size of our portfolio or assets under management. But increasingly, this view is being challenged. What if true wealth isn't just about accumulation, but also about connection, emotional well-being, and purpose? I want to explore what some say is a profound shift in wealth thinking. And I'm in conversation now with Daryl Coker, advisory partner at Citadel. Daryl, a very warm welcome. And we're taught from a young age, aren't we, that wealth is all about the numbers. But you're going to tell me that that definition is no longer sufficient. It's no longer enough. Why is that the case?
Evening, Jeremy. Thanks for the time. I mean, yeah, circumstances and the way we view money in the world at the moment is changing, as you've mentioned. You know, things like emotional well-being, personal freedom, you know, physical health are becoming part of those balance sheet items in the wealth column that, you know, we're starting to take more and more cognizance of. You know, there's one thing about having financial IQ, which is understanding how to make money, keep track of money, you know, set and live with a spending plan, those kind of things, saving. But there's very little information around, you know, knowing how money affects a person emotionally and know how money affects relationships and those kind of things. So there is a very, very big drive going forward to actually explore these concepts within family and family matters.
Can you put your finger on when we might have seen this change in thinking?
Yeah, I think the way people see money and the types of money you get these days is very, very different to kind of the previous generation, as it were. I mean, there's, you know, there's e-wallets, there's, you know, different way of transacting. And I think it's been a gradual, you know, shift where people have started to talk about money more in families. You know, it used to be very clear that if you asked your parents, you know, how much they earned or, you know, what assets they had, it would be very, very cagey. But in the bigger scheme of things, you know, parents are starting to open up to their children about their wealth and sharing a lot more. And I think that's helping the younger generation share as well.
Those family dynamics are so critical. And I wonder then why so many families struggle to have that open, constructive conversation about money and what the cost of the silence is.
Yeah, I mean, I think many of us have grown up with the money biases in the past that our parents have kind of, you know, drilled down into us. Things like, you know, always save for a rainy day and, you know, never be in debt. And, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. Those are the kind of things that our parents told us. And so it was always very, you know, clear that, you know, they didn't want to talk about money. But I think with the a younger generation being far more open, you know, they've started to challenge some of these biases. And it's important to understand that, you know, for example, never be in debt. There are times, especially in business circumstance, where it may be good to be in debt. You know, and, you know, so those kind of biases have started to be challenged. And we've started to have a lot more conversations with the generation above us. And as uncomfortable as it seems from their point, you know, it's important that they actually share what the information that they have that they can pass on.
So you're absolutely right when you say that it's not just about inheriting money, but about belief, as I think of my own lived experience. So when you're engaging with your client set, how are you helping them discuss and update that very rigid inherited mindset? Is it difficult?
It is rather difficult, and I mean, certain families are better at than others. You know, Jeremy, one of the biggest things that there's always been a problem of is that money talk in the house has generally always been a negative tone. You know, you only ever talk about it when you can't afford something or when, you know, you don't have enough. But, you know, people need to start transforming that conversation into a far more positive conversation, you know, saying, what can we do with the money that we have? What goals and aspirations do we have? And then it's very, very important to have open and clear communications with, you know, sort of shared goals between either couples or families. And by that way, you can actually drive a far more positive spin on it. And that's where the discussion around money becomes significantly easier to have.
You also point to a growing trend of values-led investing. So how do you balance then emotional priority with sound financial strategy in a practical way that's going to achieve the goal of a good return on investment?
Yeah, so I mean, I think people are driven by money in different ways. You know, some people are driven by extrinsic sort of motivations, things like I look popular or I do, you know, people can see I have a lot of money. There's a lot of status around that. One needs to be very careful of that because, you know, one can't be gearing or getting into debt by you know, persuading other people to think that you are extrinsically motivated and you have a lot of money. And then there's those that have got sort of intrinsic motivations, things like curiosity of money, in the enjoyment of managing money, understanding what money means in their lives. And I think it's the key thing to bring those two together, so that you don't overexpose yourself to one or the other. And in the bigger scheme of things, once you get that kind of balance right, I think your understanding of money becomes significantly better.
Do you, Daryl, have any specific advice then for a person or even a family that is financially secure, but as we've been discussing earlier, feels unfulfilled? In other words, they've done the numbers but have missed the meaning.
Yeah, 100%, Jeremy. I mean, the reality is that one needs to engage with either some sort of, is it as serious as it sounds, but a mediator or an advisor, that's going to be able to help and listen to both sides of that story and try and understand, what can be done with that money. I mean, setting out sort of physical goals and aspirations that they can achieve, whether it be a new car or an overseas holiday or a holiday home or whatever the case might be, those are important conversations to have, and those need to be had with the entire family, not just sort of the parents who kind of who own the money, as it were. Ultimately there will be some legacy and that'll be passed on, and it's important for the children to understand what that means. So I think open, clear conversations are a clear way sort of to get going and to try and understand exactly, what's happening in those dynamics. And I think it can be driven by an advisor, and or an arbitrator, just to help everyone unpack.
And I'm assuming that this is not a big bang theory, that there are maybe a couple of small steps that a person could take right now to start aligning wealth with purpose. What would you recommend?
Well, I think goal setting is absolutely critical when you're, when you're looking at your wealth. I mean, obviously, a good financial plan goes a long way. And I mean, that sort of almost goes without saying in this conversation. But I mean, really looking at a sound financial plan, and then looking at what your goals and aspirations are for your wealth. It might very well be a purchase. It might very well be a legacy in the way of giving. People often see giving and legacy as a post-death kind of environment. But in fact, if we can teach people to give while they're alive, it actually makes, quite a big difference. And so I think, once you hit down, that kind of area and you start building yourself a family's financial resources and values and long-term goals, I think then they, they'll become aligned. And I think it's much easier to get to those goals because everyone will be on the same page.
What a fascinating conversation. Daryl Coker, thank you very much indeed. Advisory partner at Citadel. I do appreciate your time.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.